Christian life is a race to the finish line. Would you say amen to that? The Christian life is a race to the finish line, and it is a tough race. It's a hard race. It's a long race. And praise God, we are in the race together. Amen? You are not running alone. Look around the room. We are in the race together. And my question to you this morning is, would you like some guidance? Would you like some advice? Would you like some help as to how to finish the race? Amen. It's a race to the finish line. And the Word of God gives you help. Amen. Would you please open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. And stand with me in honor of God's Word as we read the Holy Scriptures today. Hebrews chapter 12 says this. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who, for the joy set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Will you pray with me, please? Would you pray right now that the Lord would encourage you through this passage? Would you pray for the other people in this room, your fellow runners? The wonderful thing about the Christian life is we are not racing against one another. We're all in it together to finish. Would you pray for your fellow runners that the Lord would encourage them today? Now take a few moments and pray for me. Gracious Heavenly Father, edify your church today, we pray. We pray, edify your church today. Look down upon these, my fellow runners, with mercy and grace. And give us the grace to finish. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. This morning from this beautiful passage, I want to show you three keys to running the Christian race with endurance. That should be on your notes. It should be on the screen. Three keys to running the Christian race with endurance. They're right in the passage. They're right in the passage. Take a look. Verse 1. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. The first thing we can see in this passage, or the first thing that I see in this passage that is of great help to us, is number one, we won't put it on the screen yet, but the first thing I see is that we have a great cloud of witnesses surrounding us. We are not alone in the race. There are people that have gone before us that have finished it. There are people that have gone before us that have ran the race and have finished and have ran it by faith, and they are great examples. The author says, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses, let us run with endurance. Who are the witnesses? This is so easy, because if you simply read Hebrews all the way through, you know exactly who they are. Turn back to chapter 11 with me, just one page. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. That's faith. You can walk by sight, or you can walk by faith. We do not see Christ. We do not see Him yet. We simply know that He died for our sins, He rose from the grave, He has ascended into heaven, and He is coming back someday, and we are assured of that hope. That is faith. Amen? We are convinced that He is coming back for us, and though we don't see His promises, we know they're true. And we live by faith. Verse 2, for by it the men of old gained approval. By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. Now here is the first witness, the great cloud of witnesses. Here is the first one. By faith Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained the testimony that he was righteous, God testifying about his gifts, and through faith, though he is dead, he still speaks. Verse 5, here is the second witness. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he would not see death. And he was not found because God took him up. For he obtained the witness that before his being taken up, he was pleasing to God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. Chapter 11 gives us the great cloud of witnesses. And throughout chapter 11, we have Moses, and we have Abraham, and we have so many others that have gone before us that have lived the life of faith, and we can be inspired by them. And number one in your notes, how to run the race, is number one, observe and imitate the faith of faithful saints who finished the race. Observe and imitate the faith of faithful saints who finished the race. There are a lot of people in this world that will tell you how to be a Christian. And those people are valuable. But you know what's really helpful is a role model. A role model. What does Paul say in 1 Corinthians 11? He says, follow me as I follow Christ? What does Paul say? No, what does Peter say to the elders? He says, shepherd the flock of God, not lording it over them, but being an example to the flock. What we need in this race are role models. What we need in this race are faithful saints that have gone before us, and we can say, look at them, and I'm going to imitate their faith. And what the Word of God gives us in Hebrews chapter 11 is those faithful saints that we can read about and imitate. Number one in your notes is observe and imitate the faith of faithful saints who finished the race. Let's look at the verse again. Hebrews 12, 1. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. The second thing we are told to do is lay aside every encumbrance, but look carefully at how this is worded. The key to biblical interpretation is simply two words. You want to know how to interpret the Bible? Read carefully. Read carefully. I can give you a stack of books this high. In fact, if you go into my office, you're going to find shelves and shelves and shelves of books about how to interpret the Bible. But never forget, saints of God, never forget the correct interpretation is right here. It's right here. It's in the verse. So the most important thing you do when you're trying to interpret the Bible is not to read all these other books. The most important thing you do is slowly and carefully and repeatedly read this book. Look at every single word. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance. Encumbrance is the Greek word agkos, and it is a bulk or mass, something that is bulging out or protruding. You can imagine how hard it would be to run a race with something like that. But in the verse, it refers to any weight or load that is making it more difficult to run the race. Any weight or load that is making it more difficult to run the race. This verse brought new meaning to me the day I had my heart attack. You know that when I had my heart attack, I was working on my roof. I was tearing off my roof in preparation to put a new one on. And I had a ladder going up the roof, and I was walking up and down the ladder. And I was doing fine until I started carrying the 5-gallon buckets of tar up the ladder and over the roof. And I picked up a bucket of tar and carried it up the ladder and over the roof. And I set it down and I went down. And I picked up another bucket of tar and I carried it up the ladder and over the roof. And I was doing fine. I could have gone up and down that ladder all day and I would have been okay. But it was carrying the tar That was too much. And I look at this verse, and it says, lay aside every encumbrance. Any weight or load that is making it more difficult to run the race. And I want to ask you the most penetrating question, what is it that you are carrying? How are you doing in the race? Are you cruising right along in your Christian life? Are you doing great? Are you running with victory? Praise God. How are you doing in the race? Are you struggling? Are you running slowly? Are you going backwards? Are you getting off course? Have you stopped running? How are you doing in the race? My question to you is, what is it that you are carrying with you that is making it harder to run? Today is the day to set it down. Today is the day to set it down. I want to make a very specific challenge to you. Very specific. Every single Sunday I say, the elders are going to be right here after church. Please come up and pray with us if you have something you want to pray about. Brothers and sisters, the elders are going to be right here after church. Come up to us and lay down the encumbrance. And say, brothers, this specific thing is holding me back, and I want to lay it down today. And I want you to pray for me. Lay it down today. Lay it down today. If you don't want to talk to the elders, take hold of a trusted brother or sister in this room. And do not leave this building this morning until you take another brother or sister and say, brother, this specific thing, this specific person, this specific activity, this specific habit, this specific possession, this specific practice, this one thing is holding me back in my Christian race. I lay it down today. Please pray for me. If you know that I'm talking to you, don't leave this building until you confess your sin to someone else. Today is the day to drop that encumbrance. Romans 13:12, behind me on the screen. The night is almost gone. The day is near. Therefore, let us lay aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Brothers and sisters, time is short. Drop that encumbrance today. Ephesians 4:22. In reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit. I want you to understand this about an encumbrance. Writer of Hebrews says, lay aside every encumbrance. Every encumbrance. There may be something in your life that is weighing you down that is not necessarily sin to every single person. I may be able to carry something on my Christian life that you can't. And you may be able to carry something in your Christian life that I can't. The tragedy of my heart attack is there were young men on the roof that could have carried those buckets all day long. But I couldn't carry them. And you may have something in your life this morning and you say, that's not sin. It may not be sin for someone else in the room, but it is sin for you because it's holding you back. It's hindering you from the race. Lay aside every encumbrance. That's number two in your notes. Number two, lay aside everything in our lives that makes it harder to run the race. Let's look at the passage again. Hebrews 12:1. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. The next thing this passage tells us to do is to fix our eyes on Jesus. Why? What is it about Jesus that makes him the one we should focus on? The passage says it. Jesus is the author and perfecter of faith. He is the author and perfecter of faith. Let's look at the Greek. Look at the Greek. Author is archego. Archego or archegos. There should be an S on the end of that. It's two words. Arche means the beginning or the person who is first. And then ego means to lead. So you put those two words together and you get one that takes the lead in anything and thus affords an example, a predecessor in a matter, or a pioneer. In the book of Acts, this word is used to describe Jesus as our prince. Trinity Baptist, Christ is our leader. Christ is our prince, and as such, he provides us with the ultimate example of faith. The ultimate example of faith. Christ is the author and perfecter of our faith. Perfecter is teleiotes, teleiotes, and it means one who has in his own person raised faith to its perfection. And so set before us the highest example of faith. Christ finished the race. He completed it perfectly. And he is our ultimate example and inspiration. What is it more that Christ is? What does the verse teach us about? Look at it. Verse 2. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who, for the joy set before him, we'll come to that in a minute, for the joy set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Christ is our leader. Christ is our Savior. Christ is our Lord, and the verse says he did three things. First of all, he endured the cross. He endured the cross. Faced with the most severe test of faith anyone has ever faced in the history of faith, he did not shrink back, but he endured. And James urges us to follow his example. James chapter 1, verse 12, behind me on the screen. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial. For once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Number one, he endured the cross. Number two, he despised the shame. Despised the shame. The shame and disgrace of being crucified. Being crucified is a very humiliating thing. You are up there on a cross in public for all to see. It is a shameful and disgraceful event and something to endure. And Scripture says that Christ despised it. Now you have to be careful with that English word despised. It is not at all true that Christ said, oh, I hated that. Even though it was the most unpleasant thing that anyone has ever experienced. Despised means, in Scripture, it means to hold something of no account or not important. Paul says to Timothy, let no one look down on you because you are young. Look down on is the same Greek word. It means to think nothing of someone. Oh, you're nothing. It means to not consider someone or something worthy of consideration. Matthew 6:24, behind me on the screen, says no one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. It's not that you hate wealth. Ooh, money. I hate money. No one hates money. No one hates money. Ooh, money. I hate. Don't give me that money. I hate money. It's that you, compared to one or the other, Christ's money, you say, I'm not considering this over this. This is not going to be of an account to me. I'm not going to consider this. I'm not going to honor this. This is unworthy of my time. This is unworthy of my attention. Out of love for Christ, I'm setting this aside. And that's what Jesus did. Out of love for his Father, he despised the shame. He said, the suffering and shame of the cross is not worthy of my time and attention and consideration. I'm gonna think nothing of it so that I can obey Christ. And that's what we have to do every day in our Christian life. All of these things that hold us back, that temptation, I'm not going to consider them worthy of my time and attention for the greater good of running this race. And you and I every day can despise the shame, because there is humiliation to be had in following Christ. If you're a student and you're at school and you're a follower of Jesus, now more than ever you can be made fun of. And you can be put to shame and you can be humiliated because of your biblical stand on certain issues. In the workplace, you can suffer shame and you can be humiliated and you can be made fun of because of your biblical stand on certain issues. In your family, in your neighborhood, Paul says, if you choose to follow Jesus, you will be persecuted. And every day, whether you're young or old, you can despise the shame. You can say, you know what? I don't care. I love my Lord. And I'm not going to consider that. I'm not going to consider that. The third thing Christ did is he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. He sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. He finished the race. We saw this last week in the book of Ephesians behind me on the screen. Ephesians 1, 18 through 23. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things in subjection under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Christ is our prince, our leader, our savior, our Lord, the one who leads the way of faith. He literally says, follow me. And he runs that race.